mentioned to you when you came in, you said, oh my goodness, he's going to do the land mass. This is what's called ad orientem, which is Latin for facing east. Now, of course, we're not facing east, which is that way. But in the old church, they always said mass facing the rising sun. So on occasion, the Pope himself has said it's a nice way to do mass, facing as if it were the rising sun. And it's not as if I'm just going to say the mass with my back to you. It's as if we're all up together around the altar, you know, and we're all facing the same direction. That's the point of it. So I think you'll find it a very interesting and very prayerful way to say the mass today. Just every once in a while we might do that. Secondly, of course, today is Catechetical Sunday. And just to see how the huge dent we're making, I'd like all the kids, let me see, any St. Odilo kids to stand up. Any St. Odilo kids, please stand up. Any St. Odilo CCD, catechism kids, stand up. All the catechism kids, stand up. There may be some of my high school class, my young people, any young people in the high school and older class, you can stand up too. All right, very good, children. Sit down. Now, see, a catechetical Sunday is basically about the, you know, about teaching the faith, and I'm going to get into that in a second. But we're making a dent here in the Cicero-Berwyn area. We got about 350 kids in the CCD program, 350. Throw on another 120, mostly high school and college age, and my Monday evening classes, the ones that I teach. So now we're talking close to 400. We got 225 children in the school. They're talking about 600-700 kids and their families in this Cicero-Berwyn area that are getting the catechism as strictly and as wonderfully as we can give it. So continue to pray for the success of the program. Continue to pray for everything that can be done about imparting the faith to our children. As I said, this is Catechetical Sunday. The bishops have asked it to be called that. It's the day when we focus our minds and our hearts on the great task of teaching our children what it means to be Catholic. And we at St. Odilo promise to do our best, and so today we ask the parents to promise to do their best. The school stands, and here's a Latin word for you, in loco parentis, in place of the parents. The school, or this catechism program, does not replace the parents, but supports them. The school and the home ideally reinforce each other. But the home is primary. What the children learn at home, even before they are old enough to get to school, will last them a lifetime, and they will never forget what their mothers and fathers taught them before they were 6 years old. They'll never forget it, and they'll never not believe it. And so that includes going to Mass and praying. So I do believe that if you parents pray every day at home and go to Mass every Sunday, the lessons that you are teaching your children about God and our duty before God will be permanent, and no one will be able to snatch your children away from you. As I say, we at St. Odilo are only trying to support our parents who have a solemn obligation before God to pass on their Catholic faith to their children. Our teachers, our staff, our aides, everyone, they stand before God and they must account for what they are teaching the children. But how much more accountable before God are the actual parents of these children? This is a huge responsibility before God, before all your ancestors in the faith, before all the saints in heaven. Catechetical Sunday asks our parents, are you ready and willing to pass on the faith of you, that you have to your children? Are you ready to pray every day with them? Are you ready to take them to Mass every Sunday? Are you willing to do that, or are you going to relax and not care and let them be like the rest of them out there? The responsibility is getting more and more serious because we now have to make up for all the silliness and the excesses of the 60s where no one learned anything of the faith. If you're about 10 years younger than me, you'll know, well, we didn't learn anything in religion class. Well, that was what was going on. I lived through it. I was in the schools, I was in the seminaries during the 60s, and I got good grades. And no one needs to tell me that I didn't really understand what it was all about. I did. I read countless books, articles, and pamphlets. I sat in on countless, endless discussion groups and parishes, seminary roundtables, archdiocesan steering committees. They were constantly discussing, constantly, this is the 60s, how we didn't really have to believe all the things that we used to believe, how we didn't have to do all the things that we used to do. Now, where did this all come from? It all came from the European intellectuals who didn't believe anything anyway. But they persuaded the intellectuals in America, who persuaded the bishops, who persuaded the priests in many parts of the world, to explain to their people, this is the 60s and the 70s, well, we don't believe in Mary or the church or the body of Christ like we used to. We don't believe in heaven and hell and purgatory like we used to, or in the Pope. We don't longer any longer believe in personal sin, let alone grace or confession. We don't believe in all those things like we used to, because that's how children believe, literally. We moderns look at the faith as more an analogy to create relationships. We don't look at religion as something about going to heaven when we die or avoiding hell when we're bad. The moderns would say, all those things in the creed about invisible and visible things, well, we don't believe in invisible things because we're modern. The modern world does not believe in the reality of the supernatural, so why should modern Catholics? So religion to the moderns is not about true or false, right or wrong, moral or immoral, as if God actually revealed those things. No, religion to the moderns is about hints for better living, tips to help us be nice. And sadly, but not unexpectedly, many of the bishops went along with it all. They would say, oh, I guess this is what the council called for, and they would wring their hands in frustration. And in about 15 years, say by the time you got to the mid-80s, they realized what a wasteland they had created. The abandonment of the faith by millions of people. When I was a kid in high school, 75% of Catholics went to Mass every Sunday. It's down about 20% now. We saw the collapse of vocations to the priesthood and to the sisterhood. And this whole era provided a terrible opportunity for the devil to corrupt many of the priests, whose sins made a laughingstock out of the teaching authority of the church. You can't say anything except somebody will say, yeah, well, how about those priests? How many souls were lost? And how much of the old faith in the Church of Christ would have to be rebuilt from scratch? That's what we're doing here. We're rebuilding it from scratch. And all at the very moment, we're now being confronted in unprecedented ways with the modern world, all atheist, all materialist, all consumerist. So what needs to be done, child by child, family by family, priest by priest, sister by sister, we have to rebuild the church. We have to re-preach the gospel in its purity, in its essence, without editorials, without qualifications, without doubts. And this is what the popes have called the new evangelization. We need it. The world needs it, and desperately. So here at St. Odilo, as I say, I think we're making a dent. We're going full steam ahead with the new evangelization, but truthfully told, it will look suspiciously like the old evangelization. We will begin with the fact in all our grades, school, CCD, and my class. We believe all the truths that the Catholic Church teaches, and then we will believe those truths literally and concretely. No fudging, no hedging. What the faith says and what the faith has and what has sustained Catholic civilization in this world for 2,000 years is exactly what we believe, and we're going to teach it in the way that the Church intends it to be understood. Literally. Our children, always in conjunction with their parents, must teach them at home. But they, our children here, will also learn their prayers. And I don't care if it's in Spanish or English. As long as they know their prayers, that's all I want. And they will learn them by heart, and they will learn them well, and we will test them. Moreover, they will learn how Catholics pray with their elbows and with their knees and with holy water and sometimes vestments. They will learn about processions and novenas and how to pray the rosary. They'll learn about benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. And little by little, they'll begin to love Mary and Jesus very deeply and almost unconsciously. The supernatural world will be part of their everyday life. that's beginning to create a Catholic culture where the supernatural world is part of your everyday life. In our classes, all the classes, mine, CCD, school, the children will be expected to know there's one God and three persons. And they will be able to tell me when I ask them, the pastor, the names of those three persons. And they will hear about good angels and bad angels and about Lucifer and how he tempted the first two humans, Adam and Eve, to rebel against God. But they will also hear how God promised to send his son Jesus, who being born like us on Christmas, would die on a cross and rise on Easter and save us all from the fires of hell. And yes, they will study about hell and purgatory. And why not limbo? And they will come to yearn for heaven at the end of their lives. They will study about how they have a soul and how sin hurts that soul. They'll learn how venial sin leads to mortal sin and how all sin comes from Adam and Eve's original sin. And the attitude of sin is not your will be done, God, but mine. Our young people, our students and families will be relieved to hear, though, how Jesus saves us from hell if we just believe in him and in the teachings of his church and put all of those beliefs into practice. And when they're ready, meaning that they will understand in some sense what sin means and what saying I'm sorry means, they'll make their first confession and the first of many if we do it right. And then shortly thereafter, they will receive for the first holy time the first Holy Communion, the actual body and blood of Jesus. They'll learn that Holy Communion is food for their journey and the very sustenance that they will need to withstand the assaults of the world against them. And they'll learn to reverence in Jesus in Holy Communion by genuflections and by reverence his presence in each other by kindness and charity. And unless their parents deem otherwise, they'll receive their first Holy Communion kneeling and on the tongue as the best way to indicate to them the utter holiness of that moment. Eventually, they will learn how the Holy Spirit comes into their souls in the sacrament of confirmation. And those who are going to be confirmed should start beginning right now, learning what name they're going to take to highlight their new identity. Our children will be formed in a Catholic way of life, a life full of 7 sacraments, 10 commandments, dozens of prayers that help put this life in order. And I will expect them to memorize the names and the meanings of the 7 sacraments and to recite the 10 commandments and to know what they command and what they forbid. And they will learn to respond properly at Mass to the prayers. So actually, there is no new and old evangelization. It's the one and the same preaching and receiving of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's knowing what we believe and what are the reasons for that belief and how our faith will help us serve God in this world in order to be with him in the next. Certainly, our children will be learning nothing more than that, but not an ounce less either. Have a good year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.